Good morning, everyone. I really do feel as if I'm interrupting your chat. I am sorry for that. It's good to see so many of you here this morning. Welcome to church. It's hard to believe we're into September again. We'll be thinking about Christmas very soon, and then the holidays next year. But it's good to see you all here as we stand at the beginning of another church year, and we look forward with anticipation to what God might be doing among us. So welcome to you all. I do hope you've had a good and relaxing summer period. You've been given the weekly announcement sheet on the way in. There is so much happening over the next number of weeks, so I would encourage you to look at the announcement sheet very carefully. As you will see from the inside page, most of our organizations are beginning their work again for another year. So please take time to read the announcement sheet and to keep in touch with all that's happening. And then to actually use the announcement sheet to pray for the work of the congregation. Just let me draw your attention to a couple of things just to remind you that Cafe First begins again this Saturday, the 10th of September at 10:30. And then at the end of the month, we hope to show a film one Saturday evening called War Room. It's in conjunction with the National Prayer Weekend of the Crusade for World Revival. It's a film that reminds us of the importance of prayer in our personal lives and in the life of our congregation. There was a little trailer of it as you were coming in just before the service, and we'll be showing the trailer over the next couple of weeks. But again, we would ask you to take note of that as well. And then just one final announcement that I want to draw your attention to, and it's just to remind you that Jill and Johnny's prayer letter for August is now available. You'll find it in both vestibules. It keeps you in touch with what's happening with them. There are a lot of changes happening with them at the minute, and it will give you points for prayer for them by which you can encourage and support them through your prayers. So again, I would encourage you to pick that up on the way out. So I think really that's all our announcements for today. So good to see all of you here. Let's turn together to God in worship now. And we're going to sing familiar words to all of us, and yet words that really encourage us to think about who God is, what he has done for us, and then to respond by offering our praise to him. So we stand together to sing, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." We turn together now to God in prayer, and as our hymn has reminded us, we realize that in coming to God, we're coming to the King of Heaven, the Supreme One in all of creation. And yet in coming to Him, we're also reminded we come to one who is our Father, who tends and spares us and well knows our feeble frame. So let's turn to Him together in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning with a sense of awe. We recognize that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no higher power in all creation than You. You stand at the beginning of all things, and You will be there at the end of all things. You made all things, and You made all things to serve Your glory and Your purposes. And You made us that we might serve Your glory and Your purposes. And we realize that unless our lives are centered on You and on Your Son Jesus, we can never find our truest meaning and truest purpose in life. And so as we turn to You now, we seek to set our hearts on You. We realize that we don't find that easy to do. Our minds flit from one thing to another. The worries and pressures of life crowd in upon us. And it's so easy to lose sight of You. But we pray for Your strength this morning and Your help, that we might focus our minds on You, that we might remind ourselves of Your greatness and of the wonder of Your love for us in Jesus, Your Son. And we thank You today that even though You are the King, the Supreme One, that Your heart towards us is that of a Father. A Father who cares for us. A Father who is sympathetic towards us. A Father who understands our pains and our struggles and our weaknesses and our failings. And we thank You today that we don't have to hide from You or to pretend with You. You know us just as we are. And yet You invite us to come, that we might find in You all that we need. And we thank You today for Jesus, and for what He has done for us by His death on the cross, making it possible for us to come just as we are, that we might receive Your forgiveness, that we might have Your welcome, that we might know Your hand upon us. And so, our God, we simply pray that You would come to us today, that You would open again our hearts and minds to Your truth, and that You would lead us to Your Son, in whom all Your richest blessings are to be found. We ask these things in his name. Amen. And now, boys and girls, would you like to come down to the front of the church? All the boys and girls up to P7. Really good. Good to see you all. You all get a seat. Wow. Well, it's really good to see you all here, boys and girls. And I see some changes in you since the beginning of the summer. Some of you have got bigger and taller since the last time I saw you. And of course, everything changes, doesn't it, boys and girls? Everything's changed for you. Hands up those of you who have maybe started playgroup or play school for the first. Wow, okay. And what about anybody gone to school for the first time? Yes. What about those of you who have been in school? Have you got a new teacher now? Yeah, so it's all changing for all of you. And that's the way it is in life, boys and girls. Things are always changing. And sometimes when things change, it can be a little bit scary. Like when you have to go to playgroup or play school for the first time. And maybe you're not quite sure about who the other boys and girls are. And it can seem a bit scary. Or when you're starting school for the first time, it can seem that way. Or maybe if you're going to start the BB or the GB, and you're thinking, I'm a bit scared. I want to show you a picture, boys and girls. Now, does anybody know who the important man is in this picture? It's very difficult, I know. Anybody know who the important man is? Do you know Matthew? Yes, this one right at the very, this side here, is the president of the United States. He's supposed to be the most powerful man in the world. Tell me this. Does anybody know who the three men who are beside him are? Anybody know who they are? Anybody any thoughts who they might be? No, that's not quite right, Julia. No. No. Anybody? Yes. Good girl. Yes. Those three big guys beside him are his bodyguards. And everywhere he goes, they go. And they are with him all the time to watch over him and to make sure that he's safe. And sometimes, boys and girls, we think to ourselves, wouldn't it be nice to have a bodyguard? You know, somebody who's with us all the time to watch over us and to make sure we're safe. I'm sure sometimes that you wish that your mum or your dad could be with you everywhere that you go, because when they're beside you, you always feel safe. But they can't always be with you. But here's the thing that I want you to learn this morning, boys and girls. God says this. The Bible tells us about this. It says this. It says, the Lord watches over you. And what that means, boys and girls, is that when we are trusting in Jesus, no matter where we are, Jesus is there.
He's like our bodyguard. He is right beside us. And he is watching over us to help us in all things. And that's his promise to us, boys and girls. And so, as you start lots of new things at the beginning of this year, and as some of them might seem a little bit frightening to you, I want you to remember this promise that Jesus makes to us. The Lord watches over you. And when we're trusting him, we have his promise that he is with us and he will help us in everything that we face.
Okay, we're gonna sing your hymn now. And it's a hymn that reminds us that our God is a great big God. You saw the bodyguards, they were big guys to help look after the president. Well, our God is a great big God. And our God is watching over us every moment of every day as we put our trust in Jesus. So let's stand and do the actions and sing out. Well done, boys and girls. You can go out to Children's Church now. Take your time. And while the boys and girls are doing that, the offering will now be received. And we join together to pray. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand at the beginning of another church year, we do so with a sense of anticipation. We are looking to you to be working and active in our midst. And so we commit the work of this congregation to you. We pray for each of our organizations as they begin their activities for another winter. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you for all that they give in the service of this congregation. And we pray for each of our organizations that you would direct them in their work, that you would strengthen them in all that they do, that you would encourage them in that work, and that you would use their efforts to point people of all ages to Jesus and to encourage them in a living faith in Jesus. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We are conscious that we cannot do anything in our own strength for your kingdom. And so we offer ourselves to you, and we pray that you would empower us and enable us for the days and weeks that lie ahead, and that you would use us for your glory. And as we pray for ourselves, we remember those in need in our congregation. We think of those in hospital or at home. We think of those who are grieving. We think of those who have needs of any kind. We ask that they would know so much of your grace and comfort at this time. And so we offer our gifts to you now. Receive them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn together to read from God's Word, and our reading this morning is just taken from the book of Psalms. I'm going to read a very familiar psalm to you, Psalm 121. If you want to follow it in the Bibles in the pew, it's page 622. These are familiar words, and yet they are words of great promise to us. And so we want to just take time to think about them today. Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." Ending our reading at verse 8, and we will look at these verses in a few moments together. But before we do so, we turn again to worship God, again singing words that are familiar to us, words reminding us of the greatness of God's love for us in Jesus. Love divine, all loves excelling. Thank you. The President of the United States is probably the best protected person in the world. Wherever he goes, whether at home or abroad, every effort is made to guarantee his safety. His itinerary is carefully planned, often months in advance. The locations where he attends are regularly swept to ensure that no explosive devices can be smuggled into them. Participants are thoroughly searched to prevent the carrying of weapons. And the president has his own plane, helicopter, and car. And even when he travels abroad, the car has brought with him. His security people won't permit him to travel in any other vehicle. And he's surrounded by a team of bodyguards. And their watchful eyes are ever vigilant, ready to thwart any attack on their boss. Each one is willing to take a bullet to save his life. And no matter where he travels, the president can have the confidence that he's in the best of hands. But it's not like that for you and me. Life's uncertain. We don't know where the next threat might come from. Telephone call? Visit to the doctor, a summons to the boss's office, a momentary lapse in concentration, an error of judgment, or a knock at the door. And in a moment, our lives can be changed. We receive bad news about a friend or ourselves. We lose our job. We're involved in an accident for which we are to blame. We do something incredibly stupid, which we now regret, which has far-reaching consequences for us and our families. The police are at our door, and we dread what they're about to tell us. Who can protect us from such things? Where do we find help in such moments? Can there ever be any security for us in life? Or are we simply doomed to be victims of whatever life throws at us? And this is the theme of Psalm 121. It's part of a group of psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. They were sung by pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem for the great Jewish festivals. They're called Psalms of Ascent because Jerusalem was located on a mountain. You had to climb to reach it. And the psalm begins, I lift up my eyes to the hills. The pilgrims are looking to the hills because that's where Jerusalem, the goal of their journey, was located. And the journey held for them all kinds of dangers, bad roads, landslides, wild animals and robbers. They feared for their security. And so they cried out, where does my help come from? And the journey to Jerusalem becomes a picture of the journey of life. Where do we find security in life? Where do we turn to for help against the dangers that lurk at every corner? And the unequivocal answer of the psalmist is God. He is able to protect us from the dangers. He is able to deliver us from the dangers. He is able to help us in the midst of the dangers. Our security is to be found in him. And part of the purpose of this psalm is to remind us that we need to turn to him. For all too often in life, we are looking for security in the wrong places. We're to trust in the Lord. And when we begin to grasp the magnitude of his care, we realize that we have no reason to doubt him. He is worthy of our trust. And so as we turn to look at the psalm, I just want you to notice a few things from it. And the first thing is this, that the source of our security. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And here we are being reminded of two great truths about God. The first is his love. The term Lord is a covenant title. It speaks of the unique relationship the people of Israel enjoyed with God. He had chosen them out of all the people of the world to be his people. His choice was a matter of grace. It wasn't based on their worth or performance. In fact, at the moment in history when he took them as his own, they were slaves in Egypt. He gave his love freely to them. And we today are even, or should be even more aware of the depth of his love. For we have seen what he has done for us. He took our flesh and our blood. He shared our lives. Jesus went to the cross in our place, taking the punishment we deserved. It's all of grace. It's not a reward for good behavior. It's his gift to all who trust in him. And Jesus' love reassures us of his willingness to help us in our need. I don't know if you've ever gone to someone for help and they have politely refused. They just didn't want to get involved. When you love someone, you can't help but get involved. And Jesus loves us more than we can know. And if we need any reassurance about that, we need simply look at the cross. It's his public demonstration of his commitment to you and me. There is no reluctance on his part to come to our aid. Secondly, we are reminded of God's power. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And what is being emphasized here is his ability to meet our need. He created the universe. There is nothing outside his power. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of being down and anxious, and your son or daughter doesn't know the reason for your upset, but is aware of it. And they say to you, Mom, Dad, don't worry. I love you and I'll help you. And you are touched by their thoughtfulness. But you also know that they're powerless to help you. Jesus wants us not only to be touched by his love, but to be bolstered and encouraged by his power. He is our security in life. His love and power remind us that we can trust in him. As someone has pointed out, to doubt his power would be foolish. To doubt his love, unthinkable. The source of our security is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That brings us then, secondly, to the status of our security. Verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. God is always on full alert when it comes to our security. He is vigilant. Like the president's bodyguards, he is always watchful. There is nothing that happens to us that takes him by surprise, or for which he is unprepared. Tony Campalo was a well-known American author and speaker. He grew up in a rough neighborhood. His mom wouldn't allow him to go to school by himself and paid an older child to accompany him. Campalo hated this and pleaded with his mother to allow him to go to school by himself. She reluctantly agreed. Many years later, after his mum had died, he was attending a family reunion. He was reminiscing with his sisters, and he began to boast about his independent spirit, even as a child determined to go to school by himself. And his sisters began to laugh. But he didn't know why. And then one explained, "Do you think that you went to school alone and came home alone? Every day when you left the house, Mum followed you. And when you came out of school at the end of the day, she was there. She always made sure that you didn't notice her, but she watched over your coming and your going, just to make sure you were safe and nobody hurt you. And when she opened the front door and let you in, you were always left with the impression that you had been on your own, when in reality, she had been watching over you all the time." And this is the picture we're given of God in these verses. He's watching over us. He never falls asleep on the job. He's never too busy with other things. Perhaps that's what you need to understand at this moment. The circumstances of life have filled you with doubt. The Lord appears remote and distant. You wonder, where is he when you need him most? He is watching over you. You can trust him. Remember, when Jesus is our security, he's always on active service. That brings us then to the third point, the scope of our security. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. I needed to organize some insurance for my recent trip to America. And as I was doing that, it soon became clear to me that not only did I need to be sure of what my policy covered, but also what it omitted. The scope of Jesus' security is all-inclusive. It covers every part of our lives. Jesus is pictured like a bodyguard. He stands at our side to protect us. He protects us from the sun by day, everything that is known, and the moon by night, everything that is unknown. Now, at this point, you might be thinking that the psalmist's words don't ring true for you. You'd like to believe that the Lord protects you from all harm, but that's not been your experience. You faced pain, suffering, sickness, disappointment, heartache, tragedy, and despair. You would have loved the Lord to protect you from such things. You've even prayed that He would. And if you're honest, you view the psalmist's words as nice sentiments that you don't really believe. Could I encourage you not to dismiss his words too quickly? Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that those who walk in the ways of Jesus will be exempt from the troubles of everyday life. We live in a fallen world, as everyone else. We face the same challenges. We encounter the same struggles. Faith in Jesus is no guarantee to a trouble-free life. And if you ever thought it was, you have been deceived. The Bible teaches those who follow Jesus can actually expect extra troubles. So what does the psalmist mean when he pictures God as our bodyguard? It means that there is nothing we face in life that is outside of his control. He will be with us in our troubles. He will give us the strength that we need to deal with them. He will keep us in the midst of our struggles. This is his promise to us. Many years ago, Adrian and I returned from holiday to learn that two young people from our home congregation had died in a car accident. One of them, Mark, was married. When we went to visit his young widow, she told us her story. Mark was a keen musician and poet. He had been asked by a friend to write a poem to read at their wedding. Mark prayed a lot about the poem. He read it to his wife. She thought it was good, but wondered if it was appropriate for a wedding. Mark felt that it was God's word for that day. They were driving to the wedding with two other young people. There were no other vehicles involved. The tire blew out. Mark was killed instantaneously. Sometime later, the police returned his personal effects to his wife, and among them was the poem. And as she read it, it really was God's word for her at that time. And in part of the poem, Mark compared life to a young child learning to ride their bicycle without stabilizers. And it was scary and it was dangerous and you could fall. But the Father's hand was never too far away, holding, supporting, and keeping the child safe. And this is the picture of how Jesus watches over the lives of those who trust in him. And the poem finished with a challenge to trust Jesus in all things. And that poem brought such comfort, encouragement, and hope to that girl in the darkest moment of her life. She was reassured God was watching over her. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's all very well, but couldn't God have done something to help Mark? The Bible is equally clear. There is a dark side to God's providence. Things happen to us and those we love that we find hard to understand. But there is nothing that happens outside of his control. Some are really troubled by this. They wonder why God doesn't intervene. And I have no easy answers for that. His ways are not our ways. And like Jesus, we must be willing to say, not my will, but your will be done, O God. But far more troubling for me would be the fact that something could happen to us that was actually outside of God's control. For this would mean he was powerless to help us in our time of need. And so when the psalmist writes, the Lord will keep you from all harm, he will watch over your life. This is what is meant. All things are under God's control. He is our bodyguard watching over us. He gives us both the comfort we need and the courage to endure. He even promises to use the worst life throws at us for his glory and for our good. That's the scope of his care. Do you need to find courage and hope in the scope of God's security? Everything is under his control. Everything serves his purposes. You can trust him no matter how great the darkness that surrounds you at this moment. That brings us fourthly and very quickly to the span of our security. The span of our security. Verse 8, the Lord watches over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What an incredible promise. God was at the beginning of the pilgrim's journey. He would be there at the end. He is there at the beginning of our lives and watches over us to the very end. His care is not just for now, but it stretches and continues throughout eternity. This is his promise to those who seek their security in Jesus. What a comfort to know that Jesus watches over us, not just in all things, but also in all times. Where are you seeking your security in life? No earthly power can protect you from the troubles of life. Only Jesus has the ability to watch over you in life and in death. And the promises that he makes in this psalm don't apply to everyone, but to those who are trusting in him. And if the psalmist's words are to be real in our lives, it must begin with the commitment of our lives to Jesus. And often, the troubles of life dent our trust in Jesus. But as the psalmist has reminded us of the status and the scope and the spam of Jesus' care for us. I trust that you will be encouraged to place your confidence wholly in Him. Life is uncertain. We don't know what lies around the corner. But when our trust is in Jesus, we can declare our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we're very conscious that as we listen to your word, that encourages our trust in you, that there is so much in life that causes us to doubt. So much that causes us to question your care for us. And yet we thank you today for your cross. Your cross that stands at the very center of history. And we thank you for that cross that speaks so powerfully of your commitment to each one of us. That you thought so much of us, that you cared so much for us, that you went to that cross to give your life that we might know your forgiveness. And know you in a personal way. And Lord, we pray that as the doubts crowd in upon us, that you would help us to look to that cross. And that as we see you there dying in our place, that we would be ready to trust you, ready to place ourselves in your hands and have that confidence that our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. And we turn to our closing hymn, a hymn that takes up the theme of our verses, a hymn that reminds us that our hope is to be found in Jesus alone. He alone is our cornerstone, the one in whom we can find our security in life. My hope is built on nothing less.
Just blood and righteousness. I dare.
And we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all. Amen.